think of two very different and separate curious twists of fate. Charismatic Catholics ended up figuring prominently in the establishment and maintenance of Shlomo Carlbach's House of Love and Prayer. In 1966, when Shlomo first arrived in the Bay Area to play at the Berkeley Folk Festival, he confronted with anguish at the sight of thousands of dazed, drugged, and dispirited teenagers and young adults wandering aimlessly through the streets of Haight-Ashbury. "Look at these kids. My heart is breaking." Arya Cooper Smith remembers Shlomo saying in anguish, "I'm sure that half of these kids are Jewish. They came here looking for something. And what they're getting? Nothing. Ariela, we have to do something. We have to give their hungry neshamas the spiritual sustenance they've been looking for. I've come to a decision. We have to establish some kind of spiritual center right here in Haight-Ashbury where we can reach them. A place where you can walk in, somebody loves you. And when you walk out, somebody misses you. You're in charge, Ariela. Go find a house." Arya recalls looking at Shlomo in panic and disbelief. "Shlomo," he countered, "it's a great idea, very necessary. But I don't have any money." "Don't worry," Shlomo responded cheerfully. "Something will come up." A few days later, Arya was pouring out his heart to John Seaman, a charismatic Catholic who was one of several devout Christians drawn to Shlomo. "Shlomo Carlbach is unreal," he grumbled. "He believes in miracles. Somehow he's decided that I'm going to be able to pull it all together and help him establish an outreach center when there's not a penny in the till. Did you ever meet such an optimist?" "Wait a second," said John slowly. "This is a real important project. It could change people's lives. It could rescue kids, even save them. I'll tell you what, I'll give you my entire life savings." "That's incredible," Arya said. "How much do you have?" $350. Although Arya's heart sank when he heard the sum, he was by then enough of a disciple of Shlomo's to cherish John's magnanimous heart and sincere, if naive, intentions. He showered his thanks upon John. $350? Wow, that's great. The next day, Arya was wandering through the streets of Haight-Ashbury when he came upon a small, dingy real estate office. Impulsively, he walked in and asked, "I know this is a thoroughly unrealistic request, but I'm looking to rent a very large house in this neighborhood, very cheap." The real estate agent looked at Arya. "What a curious coincidence," she muttered. "I just got off the phone with a lawyer who's having difficulties with a deceased client's estate. A large, but I must warn you, neglected Victorian mansion. Until the legal difficulties are disentangled, he wants you to rent it. You're in luck. It just got on the market, literally this minute." "So how much is the rent?" asked Arya, heart palpitating. "It's a bargain," answered the agent. $300 a month." "Oh, but I must tell you one thing," added the agent. "I require a $50 security deposit." "You got a deal," Arya exclaimed. Subsequently, Shlomo's outreach center, which he named the House of Love and Prayer, was an instant success, and thousands of disenfranchised Jews passed through it during its 10-year span. Its continued existence, however, was often precarious, for financial and other reasons, and the center was frequently in danger of being closed. This is where charismatic Catholics came to the Shlomo's rescue once again. The lawyer/executor of the building soon regretted his decision to let Shlomo rent. Neighbors constantly complained to him about the late hours of the occupants of the House of Love and Prayer kept, the noise, the crowds that congregated on the sidewalk, the bizarre-looking people flitting in and out. Finally, the landlord couldn't take it anymore, and one day Shlomo stood outside the House of Love and Prayer, looking at the eviction notice in his hand. As it so happens, the House of Love and Prayer was located not far from a convent. And as it also happens, the nuns adored Shlomo. They perceived him as a great spiritual master who was saving kids' lives, and they had only the highest praise for him. As Shlomo stood outside the House of Love and Prayer, sadly examining the eviction notice, one of the nuns walked by. She approached him in a rush of concern and asked him why he looked so solemn. Shlomo handed the eviction notice to the nun. "He has some nerve," she fumed. "I'm going over to him to give him a piece of my mind right now." "You know him?" Shlomo asked. "Do I know your landlord? He's a member of my church." "Don't you worry about this," shrugged Shlomo. "The matter's as good as taken care of." A few hours later, a trembling landlord stood before Shlomo, stammering apologies and tearing up the eviction notice. Shlomo knocked at the convent door to thank the nun. "Tell me," he asked her after proffering his appreciation, "what exactly did you tell him that moved him so profoundly?" Oh, it's very simple, really, replied the nun with a beatific smile. I told the landlord that if he ever brings grief to Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, he's going to burn in hell. After that, the landlord never bothered Shlomo again. Gavalt. What a story of Hashkacha Pratis and letting the whole world send us to where Hashem wants to let us go. Have a great day.